Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Clean Water Act Liability and Water Flow Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On January 8, 2013, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Los Angeles County Flood Control District v. Natural Resources Defense Council. The question in the case was whether, when someone channels water from an approved part of a river to an unimproved part of the same river to control flooding, certain limitations prescribed by the Clean Water Act apply. In an opinion delivered by Justice Ginsburg, the court held unanimously that such water flow does not constitute a discharge of pollutants under the Clean Water Act. Justice Alito concurred in the judgment. To discuss the case, we have Damian Schiff, a principal attorney for Pacific Legal Foundation. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Schiff.
The Supreme Court has issued its decision in the Los Angeles County Flood Control District versus NRDC case, a decision which I think confirms my suspicion all along that this case was much ado about nothing. Recall that the case arose out of an enforcement action that a group of environmentalists filed against the Los Angeles County Flood Control District, saying that the district was exceeding its stormwater permit under the Clean Water Act by allowing polluted stormwater to flow into the Los Angeles and San Gabriel rivers. Ultimately, the Ninth Circuit ruled in favor of the environmentalists on that claim, and it was that decision that the district sought review of in the U.S. Supreme Court. Specifically, the district asked the Supreme Court to answer the question whether there can be a discharge of a pollutant under the Clean Water Act merely because polluted water flows from the upstream improved segment to the downstream unimproved segment of the same water of the United States. Basically, the district was saying, look, we're being held liable simply because we allow polluted stormwater that's already in the Los Angeles River in the parts of it that have been lined with concrete to keep on flowing down into the parts of the river that aren't lined in concrete, ultimately into the Pacific Ocean. We shouldn't be held liable for that because we're not adding anything. Who knows where this polluted stormwater came from? It may have come from municipalities or individual dischargers way upstream. It's not fair to give us the burden of showing that it isn't. And remarkably, the environmentalists and the EPA, as an amicus, agreed with the district on that central legal point for which the Supreme Court granted cert. Namely, everybody agreed that if we're just talking about water that's staying in the same river and merely flowing between improved, channelized, and unimproved, non-channelized portions of the same river, then there is no Clean Water Act liability. But the devil was in the details, and the environmentalists argued that really what the Ninth Circuit did was not hold that, in fact, if water flows from one portion of the river to the same portion of the river, you might be liable. No. The Ninth Circuit did not hold that, said the environmentalists. Rather, the Ninth Circuit merely made an error as to where the pollutants were measured, meaning the Ninth Circuit thought that for the LA and San Gabriel rivers that the pollutant discharges were being measured not in the rivers themselves, but rather right where the district's stormwater discharged into the rivers. And so therefore, the question presented, whether water in the United States, if they're improved, whether that can change the question of whether you have a discharge, all that complicated stuff, the environmentalists were saying, that's not what the Ninth Circuit held. The Ninth Circuit simply made a factual error. And the EPA, as amicus, agreed with the Ninth Circuit. Well, in today's decision, the Supreme Court, not surprisingly, said the rule is, as all the parties have agreed, that merely the transfer of polluted water from one segment to another segment of the same water body, the flowing of that water, does not incur any liability under the Clean Water Act. There's no discharge of a pollutant in those circumstances. Now, having said that, though, the Supreme Court chose not to address the quibble between EPA and the environmentalists on the one side and the district on the other as to what the Ninth Circuit decision really said, or more specifically, how the Ninth Circuit got it wrong, whether the Ninth Circuit made an error of law or whether the Ninth Circuit made an error of fact. The Supreme Court, ruling through Justice Ginsburg, said, we're not going to address how they got it wrong. We're just going to say that, frankly, they got it wrong, and we're going to reverse the decision and send it back to the Ninth Circuit. And, for good measure, The Supreme Court said, we choose not to address an alternative theory that the environmentalists had offered to support the Ninth Circuit's judgment. Now, that alternative theory was an interesting one, which, if the Supreme Court had addressed, could have been or could have made this case into something really interesting. That alternative theory was this. The district has an existing stormwater permit. That stormwater permit has a monitoring segment, meaning it tells the district how you determine whether, in fact, the district is complying with the pollutant caps imposed in that permit. Well, the environmentalists were arguing that for purposes of Clean Water Act liability, all they needed to show was that the district had exceeded what was allowed in its permit according to that monitoring provision. And even if those monitoring stations happen to be located within the Los Angeles and San Gabriel Rivers as opposed to being outside of them, it didn't matter. As a matter of almost contract law, the environmentalists were arguing if it's in the permit, then the district is bound by it, and that method of determining compliance with the permit binds the district. Well, it's an interesting theory, one, as a matter of fact, that the Ninth Circuit itself rejected with respect to other claims that the environmentalists did not appeal to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court, for its part, said, you know, we're not going to address that question. As interesting as it may be, it has nothing to do with why we granted cert in this case. We granted cert only on the question of whether water flowing from improved to unimproved segments of the same river can constitute a discharge in the Clean Water Act. That has nothing to do with this permit exceedance issue, and so we're not going to address it. So that leaves the interesting question whether on remand now in the Ninth Circuit, the environmentalists can continue to press this argument, namely that the district should still be liable because the permit said this is how you measure compliance, and according to that permit, the district was out of compliance. Now, you could say, well, because the environmentalists didn't appeal that decision on their own, they've waived it now on remand. And you could also say, even if they haven't waived it, it's unlikely that the same Ninth Circuit panel that has just been reversed on half of its opinion by the Supreme Court is now going to reverse itself in its previous opinion to rule in favor of the environmentalists who have just lost in the Supreme Court. I think that's unlikely. I think what's going to happen is that the Ninth Circuit is just going to rule against the environmentalists and the district will win. This may be much ado about nothing for another reason, and that is this deemed permit issue is probably not going to be raised again because the district's new stormwater permit, a permit that the Supreme Court decision references in one of its footnotes today, that new stormwater permit does not have any monitoring happening inside the rivers themselves. Rather, all the monitoring stations are located right at the outfalls, so there's no possibility for a future dispute as to how to properly measure compliance with the permit. I think the most important thing, in summary, that this decision says is not really about Clean Water Act law, but rather it reflects a broader issue on the Supreme Court and its role in the federal judiciary. The Supreme Court is traditionally considered a policy court, a court that doesn't have to take every case that's appealed to it. It's not a court of error like the lower appellate courts are. And yet, this case seems to demonstrate that, at least with respect to certain types of environmental cases, particularly cases that come out of the Ninth Circuit, or the Supreme Court, seems to act a little bit more like a court of error than not. Rather, the Supreme Court seems to be especially concerned when the Ninth Circuit goes off the rails in environmental cases, even if the basis on which the Ninth Circuit goes off the rails is not really one that would normally support the grant of cert in the U.S. Supreme Court. So I think as the years go by, we'll see this case as really not more of a blip on the Clean Water Act radar screen, but perhaps an important case in showing how the Supreme Court relates to the lower federal appellate courts.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.